Okay, we're in Daniel 12, and I remind you that this chapter gives the conclusion of the revelations given to Daniel in chapter 11, many prophetic details in chapter 11. So here's the conclusion not only of that last great vision, but also of the whole book. And we only got down to verse 4 in our last study, so we're definitely going to try to finish the chapter in the book this morning. There's only 13 verses. Let's read the whole chapter, and then we'll say a few more things in verse 4, then work our way down, mainly just hitting some highlights down through verse 13. And at that time shall Michael, and that time, of course, is the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. That, in chapter 11, verse 31 through 45, that's what was being covered. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. He has a special appointment concerning Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30 calls it Jacob's trouble. Christ said in Matthew 24, there's never been anything like it. It's such a great tribulation. Such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. Now that doesn't mean every Jew, only the believing remnant, because he says, every one that shall be found written in the book. And that's the book of life that's mentioned 7 times in Revelation. Those who have eternal life in Christ. Many in Israel will worship the Antichrist and be damned, but there's a godly remnant. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. This is the first resurrection of prophecy concerning the Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints. At the second coming will be this resurrection of the just. We know that the body of Christ will be resurrected before the 70th week. This is a resurrection that happens at the end. It says, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And that is damnation on the unjust. Now, there is the resurrection of the just at the second coming. Then there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ, at the end of which will be the resurrection of the damned. They'll give an account of the great white throne judgment at the renovations of the heaven and earth with fire, great white throne judgment, then a new heaven, new earth, on into eternity. So there's a 1,000-year gap in this verse. This is not a simultaneous thing. This is not a general resurrection. There are various resurrections to come that happen at different times. It says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Come up the reward on that godly remnant. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood the other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and that'd be the river Hiddekel, which is, we believe it's the Tigris River, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that shall be for a time, times and a half. A time is a year, times is 2 years and a half. 3.5 years, you see that in Revelation 12:14 also. And, the Bible talks about that 70th week, that 7 years, it's divided in half. You have 1,260 days and 1,260 days. You have 42 months and 42 months. You have 3.5 years, 3.5 years. And it says, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Sounds like a lot of people in church, right? And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate, now this is the fourth time this has been mentioned in Daniel, the abomination of desolation that will happen in the midst of the 70th week, as you see up here on the board, when Satan's cast out right in the midst of that week, that's when the Antichrist becomes filled with Satan, sits in the temple of God, declares he's God, demands to be worshipped. He said, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. But go thy way, but go thou thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now, let me just say a word again back in verse 4. It talks about many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. This is where we left off last time. And I'm not going to say everything we said last time, but I want to add a couple of verses. Look in Amos chapter 8. You can always keep a marker in Daniel 12, but over to your right in Amos. Famous Amos. Made some good cookies. That's not the one. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. You know, those that run to and fro, I take that in a negative sense. I take that in the sense of apostates as they're supposedly seeking for answers, but because of their wickedness, because of their rejection of God, they won't find the answers. There's really a correspondence in Daniel 12, verse 10, when he said, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So those running to and fro, they're still not going to understand, but knowledge shall be increased among the wise. They'll understand these prophecies. But in Amos 8, verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They're not going to hear it. Okay? That doesn't even say necessarily that it won't be available. It's saying they won't hear it. There's a famine of them hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro. There's that phrase, running to and fro, to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now, I take this, and you may disagree, and that's fine, but I take this to be a thing of they're running to and fro, saying they want the word of the Lord, but they're not sincere. They're not really wanting to hear it. There's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people that claim they want to know the word of God, but they really don't, and God knows the heart. Now, read down, because this is why I say that. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria. Idolatry. They're claiming to want the word of God, but they're still guilty of this idolatry. And they say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall and never rise up again. Now, I don't have time to expound on that, but just to say, the running to and fro, supposedly looking for the word of the Lord, but they won't hear it. They're still committing their idolatry. The wicked shall not understand, but they that be wise, they will understand. Their knowledge will be increased. Go over to Matthew 13. You know, it says in 1 John 2:27 that those saints are going to have an unction. It's going to be such that they'll not need a teacher. Which shows you a dispensational difference, by the way, between 1 John and Paul's epistles, because Paul said Christ gave the church teachers. It's good to have teachers, but the tribulation saints won't need a teacher. They're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost as a foretaste of that new covenant. Under the new covenant, they won't have to tell anybody to know the Lord, because they're all going to know Him. They're going to have a supernatural knowledge. Okay? And that's why Jesus told them, don't even think about what you're going to say. In that tribulation, when you're brought before authorities, you don't even have to think about what you're going to say, because it's going to be given you from the Holy Spirit. A lot of preachers today try to claim that and say, I'm not going to study. I'm just going to get up and see what happens. That's very dangerous. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. You need to study. Okay, we don't have that unction. All right? And when you hear these guys preach, that's obvious. They're just talking, all right? But anyway, Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." So in these parables, he's revealing secrets about the kingdom of heaven, not the body of Christ. That's later through Paul. "But to them it is not given." They're rejecting me. They're rejecting God's word. They're not going to see it. That's why I'm giving this in parables. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Knowledge shall be increased." If they receive the word, they're going to give more insight and more knowledge of it. "But whosoever hath not," they don't have faith, they're not receiving the word from him, "shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they understand not, neither do they understand. And them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." See, they willfully rejected it. Now God is judiciously blinding them. "Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Okay? Many will run to and fro looking for answers. They're not going to get it. But the wise, their knowledge shall be increased. They're going to understand. All right, so back to Daniel 12. And again, you can make an application, talk about transportation and technology and communication and all these things in general, a general knowledge increasing, but I think specifically it's got to do with the knowledge of these prophecies. Who are the other two? Daniel said in verse 5, "I saw other two." Well, I guess angels, because, you know, the angel has been speaking to him. Gabriel's been speaking to him, and he saw two others. And there's two. There's one on each side of the river, and one of the two that speaks to the man clothed with linen. And the man clothed with linen is not one of the two. There's one on each side of the river, and then there's one clothed with linen upon the waters. Now, who is that? Look back in chapter 8, Daniel 8. Verse 13. "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? He said unto me, Unto 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." We'll say a word about that later, about that 2,300 days. I'm not confident in what that is, but we'll say something about it anyway. "And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." So here's somebody on this river speaking and commanding Gabriel to show Daniel this. Come over to chapter 10, Daniel 10. I remind you, I believe Daniel saw Christ in chapter 10. Verse 5. "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed with linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ephrath." And if you go to Revelation 1 and compare it, that's Revelation 1 is clearly Jesus Christ. And so I believe this is the same here, pre-incarnate Christ. Now, the problem is people think this is an angel he's seeing, because you'll notice in verse number 10, "And behold, an hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands and said unto me." And this is an angel speaking to Daniel here. But remember, when Daniel sees his vision, he gets down on his face, and the next thing he knows, a hand touches him. That doesn't have to be the same person he was seeing. I don't think this is an angel. This is a description of Christ we're reading here. In verse 6, his body also is like the barrel, and his face has the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore was I left alone and saw this great vision. He's about to get a lot of information about the Antichrist, but first he sees the true Christ. And that matches in the book of Revelation how John has his book starts with a great vision of Christ, and then he gets all this information about the Antichrist. Go over to chapter 10 of Revelation. You should compare Daniel 10 with Revelation 10. Now remember, in Daniel 12, he sees this one upon the river, clothed in linen. That's the same one that was in Daniel 10. And I'm saying that's Christ. And the man that Daniel sees in chapter 12 is the same one in chapter 10. Daniel's asking him, how long? How long will these wonders be? And the man clothed in linen, he's on the rivers, the waters of the river. He lifts up both hands and confirms it's going to be for this 3.5 years. And he said, all these things shall be finished. Now, just keep all that in mind as we go to Revelation 10. Lifting up the hands to swear and saying it's going to be 3.5 years until it's finished. Revelation 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Now again, I think in Revelation 10 we're about to see Christ. People say, well, Christ is not an angel. Well, he's called the angel of the Lord. That term angel is used of Christ. And when he said, I saw another mighty angel, that goes back to chapter 9 when you're dealing with the Antichrist, and there's a contrast here between the Antichrist and the true Christ. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. That's the book you saw in Revelation 5 with the seven seals, the title deed to the earth. This isn't an angel, this is Jesus Christ here. See, the book is open because the seals are being opened and the judgment's going forth. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. This is the lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, Joel 3:16 talks about he's going to roar out of Zion in his second coming. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when I believe the seven thunders are the seven last plagues in the book of Revelation. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Seal them up, don't write them yet, but he writes them later. And that's why at the end of Revelation it says it's not sealed anymore. Everything's been unfolded. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him who liveth forever and ever. Now people say, if this was Christ, was he swearing by God for it? Well, God, when he made covenants with like Abraham, for an example, he swore by himself. And Christ is swearing here by the Father. He can swear by himself, the Godhead. Swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now that's not, people take that to mean like literally time ceases, but there's still years left in the tribulation at this point, and then there's going to be a 1,000-year kingdom, that's time. And it seems that throughout eternity future, there's going to be a marking of time to some extent. I'm not going to run those references. When he says time no longer, he's saying the time has come. Now, for all these things to be finished, there's going to be no more delay, no more time to intervene. The end is coming. All right? But in the days of the voice, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And that goes back to Daniel 12. When is this going to be finished? This mystery of God has nothing to do with the body of Christ. There are many mysteries in the Bible. This is a mystery that was declared to His servants, the prophets, as it says here. The mystery of God should be finished as He hath declared to His servants, the prophets. Well, the body of Christ certainly was not declared to them. It was hid from them. This is a mystery that has to do with those awful judgments that have to fall before the second coming. And it's about to be finished. And the seven last plagues that were sealed up are going to be unfolded and it's going to be finished. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book. Well, let me just stop reading there. So, you see a correspondence. In Daniel 12, he lifts up his hands to swear and says, it'll be finished 3.5 years. Daniel 10, he lifts up his hand to swear. He said, it's going to be finished. By the way, the 70th week of Daniel is literally 7 years. And it's divided in half. And these so-called teachers who allegorize the Scripture and so-called spiritualize it and say it doesn't mean what it says, they're calling Christ, who lifted up his hands to swear, basically calling him a liar when he said it'll be 3.5 years and it'll be finished. That's pretty serious when you think about it. Christ took it literal. We ought to take it literal. Always take the Bible literal unless it's an obvious figure of speech and the context will make that clear to you. So back to Daniel 12. That river that he's at is Hiddekel, as we saw back in chapter 10. And that's the same thing as the Tigris River. And I pointed out that's mentioned in Genesis 2 and that coming out of Eden. And, you know, so this is the area where human history began and where it'll end. A very important piece of real estate over there. Now, it says, verse 7, he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. That he there is in reference to the Antichrist. Look back in Daniel 7, verse 25. God's going to allow him to have this power. He's going to wear out the saints. People talking about they're going to prep. They're prepping for the tribulation. They're going to stock up guns to fight the Antichrist. He's going to wear you out. Now for me, I don't worry about it because I'm going to be caught up before. But these people think they're going through it. You know, they think they're going to fight the Antichrist. He couldn't be much of a fight to it. And by the way, Jesus taught his disciples to resist not evil. They're supposed to be martyrs. He didn't tell them to fight the Antichrist. He'll fight them when he comes back. And he destroys them with the brightness of his coming. But in Daniel 7, verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And think to change times and laws, and they shall be given to his hand until a time and times and dividing of time. There it is again, 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom and of the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve him and obey him. So he's going to wear out those saints for those 3.5 years, but they have the victory because at the second coming they'll be resurrected, they'll be saved, they're going to get the kingdom. In Daniel 8, verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He's filled with Satan. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, and through his policy, and that's a peace policy, so-called, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. In other words, supernatural judgment at the second coming. Christ won't have to lift a finger. He's going to destroy him with the sword of his mouth and with the brightness of his coming. So he's going to be given this power to persecute the holy people, Israel, for these 3.5 years. And Notice he says, back in verse 4, the time of the end. Verse 9, the time of the end. And you see that many times in the book of Daniel, the time of the end, and then just the phrase, the end. The end. That's 9 times in Daniel 7 through 12. Jesus said, he that shall endure unto the end. That's the same end there. The end of that final week. He said, many, verse 10, shall be purified and made white and tried. They're going to be purified by a fiery trial. Look in Zechariah 13. Zechariah 13. Verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire. Third part of the people. A remnant. And will refine them as silver is refined. You see, this fiery trial is going to destroy the wicked, but it's going to purify the believers in Israel. That godly remnant. He said, well, see, he's going to use this, and one scripture says to purge out the rebel. So that same fiery trial on one hand is going to destroy some, but it's going to purify others. He says, we'll refine them as silver is refined, and we'll try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Look in Malachi, to your right, a few pages, chapter 3. Malachi 3. Behold, verse 1, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now skip over to James chapter 1. So this is going to be, they're going to be purified, they're going to be made white through this trial. And Hebrews Revelation has a lot to say about this same thing, because that's what it's a lot of it is dealing with. There's a future application in Hebrews Revelation to that 70th week. James 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Scattered in that, yes, historically in the book of Acts, but also future in the tribulation. Greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How? They're going to need that. Because here is wisdom, it says in Revelation 13. Here is wisdom. Here's the number of the beast. They're going to have to identify that beast and overcome that beast. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. And by the way, in James 1, down in verse 12, he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. This is the martyr's crown, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. He's going to lay down his life to not worship the beast, and he'll be resurrected and given the crown of life. 1 Peter 1, 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found on the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now look at this verse. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. They got to endure to the end. Now keep reading. Of what salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Well, the grace that makes us members of one body wasn't prophesied, so this is something else. This is the grace spoken of in Zechariah 12:10, Jeremiah 31:2. This is a prophesied grace on Israel. Look at what he says. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, and when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And it's going to be the same thing for His people. They're going to have to suffer in tribulation, then be glorified at the second coming. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us which they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. Same end as in Daniel. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. They're looking for this grace. They're looking for this new covenant at the second coming. This isn't written to us. We don't have to hope to the end for grace. We have a standing in grace. Look in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed from at the second coming, you may be glad with exceeding joy. And by the way, look down at verse number 18. How about this? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Think about what we have in the body of Christ. Are we scarcely saved? Paul liked to use the word abundant in our salvation. But these people are going to make it in by the skin of their teeth through a fiery trial. Alright? Now listen, the whole history of Israel is marked with idolatry. And this is going to be the trial of their life. This is going to be the greatest trial that nation ever had. They're going to have to reject the idol shepherd, I-D-O-L, the Antichrist. And it's going to be a serious temptation. Because without taking that mark, they can't buy or sell. They're going to be in great persecution. It's going to be so tempting for them to worship that beast. But they must reject Him and be faithful to their... Look, they want to be part of that virgin bride that makes herself ready, that has white linen. They're going to have to reject the false Christ and worship the true Christ, even if it means losing their head. This is going to be a great trial on them. That's not about us. That's not God's dealings with us. It's Jacob's struggle. It says they're going to be made white. And I'm not even going to have time to mark all these references. But you ought to go through the book of Revelation and mark all the references to being clothed in white if they overcome. If they overcome. And the white is called the righteousness of saints. Their righteousness by faith overcoming the beast. Now they can't overcome without faith in the Lord and God giving them that strength. They can't do it in their own power. There's no way. So when we say that, we're not saying it's all about them, but it's the Lord. If they have true faith, the Lord will get them through that time and they will be clothed in white. And there's so many references to that in the book of Revelation. So he brings up here in Daniel 12 about this abomination that maketh desolate. And we've seen this so much in Daniel. And it has to do with, again, the Antichrist taking away all the sacrifices, desolating the temple, sitting on the mercy seat, okay, in between the cherubim there, claiming he's God. Because that's where God met with Israel. And he would speak out of that between those cherubim on the mercy seat. He's going to say that he's God. And then he's going to greatly persecute all those who will not worship him. And that did not happen with Antiochus Epiphanes when he slew the pig and all that stuff in the temple. Yeah, he did some horrible things. But Jesus said this hasn't happened yet. In Matthew 24, he said the abomination of desolation that's spoken of by Daniel the prophet, it was still future from Jesus' earthly ministry. Antiochus was before Christ was born. So this will be fulfilled by the Antichrist. Well, running out of time as usual. Let me just give you something here. on all these days, and you see it on the board, if you can even make sense of that. But you have these numbers given, 1,260. Okay? Now that 1,260 is obviously, again, the 7 years is divided. It's 360 days in a year, 30 days in a month. It's a lunar calendar for the Hebrews. So 1,260 days is the Great Tribulation, last 3.5 years. Then there is a figure given of 1,290 days. Well, the abomination of desolation is in the midst of the 70th week. It doesn't have to be to the exact day. So there's a 30-day window, it seems, leading up to him actually sitting in the temple and declaring himself God. There's a 30-day process to get that going. So you could put the 30 days before the 1260 and have the 1290 days finish at the second coming. You could do it that way, or you could put those extra 30 days after, but I think probably before. Then you had a figure of 1,335 days. And he said, you're blessed if you can wait until that 1,335 days. I don't know what to do with that. Possibly, here's just a suggestion, it goes past the second coming into the actual kingdom. There's going to be some time to get things squared away. And maybe it's the inauguration day. Maybe it's the official celebration and inauguration of Christ as King of Kings. I mean, He's the King when He comes. But maybe there's some kind of official thing that happens. And then that would be 45 days into the kingdom. That'd be a month and a half. Or if you put the 30 extra days past the second coming, then it would be 75 days. But then there's that 2,300 days that was referred to back in chapter 8. That would be 220 days into the 70th week. There's some kind of period marked out starting 220 days in. That'll end at the second coming. Okay, and I don't know the significance of all that and understand all that. But those are sets of days that are listed, and those saints' knowledge shall be increased. They'll know where all this fits. But he said, bottom line is, he said, go thy way till the end be. Even Daniel couldn't get all this squared away. More was revealed in Revelation, but still, it won't be fully grasped completely until that godly remnant goes through this stuff. He said, thou shalt rest. You're going to die, Daniel, but you're going to stand in thy lot. You're going to be resurrected, and you're going to get your inheritance in the kingdom. Thy lot, his lot of land. He has an inheritance in the kingdom. He said, you're going to stand in thy lot at the end of the days. All those Old Testament saints are going to be resurrected. And they're going to sit down, Jesus said, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. And what a day that'll be. So Daniel's going to die, but he'll be resurrected, and he'll get his lot in the kingdom. Father, thank you.